The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
This morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I hope there are at least three Grammys out there saying, what yawning this morning? Are you playing this music? Who could be yawning and you playing that sweet Bahamian music? It is Tuesday, the 8th of July, 2025, and you are on the clock with Aaron Green. If today is Tuesday, the 8th of July, then that means today is National Day of Service. That is the theme for this day on the 52nd Independence Calendar of Events. Members of the community, civic organizations, and corporate partners across the Bahamas join us to serve our neighbors, support local projects, and strengthen the bonds that unite us in cultural performances, celebrating the diverse heritage and unity of the Bahamian people. So, here's a great opportunity or an option, a suggestion. You can go to the website for Organization for Responsible Government. You could search the Map for Good project, right? You can identify a civic organization that has already been mapped on the list. Reach out to them and say, hey, what types of activities do you have going on today over the next few days and the weekend? Because we would like to join you in heralding, celebrating, commemorating the National Day of Service. And in studio today, I have some guests who... It's a perfect placement because I think what they do is a service, right? This is service, and we're going to talk about some exciting things taking place. And then after that, we're going to go into the news. I can tell you why, because the revolution will not be televised. That's important, dear young people. I need you all to understand that. The revolution will not be televised, right? But we could still dance our way out of it. Here's what I mean. One of the headlines I will be delving into today, $250 million for national security project. The second one, 300 immigration officers, added or promoted. Anyway, first of all, let me say this. Congratulations to the immigration officers. You're putting in the hard work. Today is the National Day of Service. You serve in your country. We appreciate that. But $250 million for national security projects and 300 immigration officers, I feel like we're dancing our way straight into a police state. Anyway, we're going to talk about that on the other side of the break when we get to our next segment. But today, joining me in studio, a conversation I'm very excited about because joining me in studio are representatives of the 7th Annual Shirley Hall Bass Dance Educators Forum. Right, I'm going to let them introduce themselves, but they have an event coming up shortly. Now, let me tell you why this conversation is important right now. How the little children going to do the heel and toe if we don't teach them the heel and toe?
That's right.
How they going to do the quad drill? Let me show you all something. I ended up in New York 1 year, but I got one cousin. Hey, cousin Dion. I ended up in New York, and she took me to a house party, a Caribbean house party in New York. And let me tell you all something. I dance all night. You know why I dance all night? Because I could dance the merengue. Because I could wind up. I had to go to a school to learn that. But the point is, me, merengue pie like me, I was a meringue pie that night because I dance all night because I know to dance. And the young people know that. And we see the culture is, I want to say, as it evolves, it's also revolving because we've come back to the point of the choreographed dance. right? Mm-hmm. Not just the choreographed stage performance, not the, just the ballet, but I'm talking about good old hip-hop dance hall, play them, doing the dance, and the best part, you got to thank our Jamaican brothers and sisters. You got to thank them for this. They tell you how to do the dance while you're dancing.
Yes.
They make it real easy for you to figure. They tell you how to do the dance while you're dancing. Right? We got to celebrate the young people for that. Right? Because they are included. See how inclusive it is.
Mm-hmm.
Miss, we know you can't dance proper, and we know you want to dance with us, so we can teach you how to dance. That's what they said to me first time I went to dance class. I loved it. Anyway, ladies, introduce yourselves. Let's get this conversation started. And then, finally, now I have the platform to tell you all how I break my toe. If you all know what I was doing on the dance floor. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, Erin. It's so wonderful to see you again. My name is Kristen Carroll, and I am the grandniece of Shirley Hall Bass. And if you don't know, now you know, she was one American woman who came to Nassau, Bahamas in 1952 on tour with Louis Armstrong. And I think she just fell in love with this country.
Mm-hmm.
So as a Chicagoan, as an American, much in the shadow of my aunt, I was afforded an incredible opportunity to come here my entire life. Every summer of my life, to experience what my great aunt Shirley Hall Bass was doing. And what was she doing? She was managing and directing the National Dance School and National Dance Company. She was one of the choreographers that staged your Independence Extravaganza, the very first one. She was responsible for almost 20 years for the Miss Bahamas pageants.
Mm-hmm.
And my favorite thing, and the most significant thing that I think my aunt did, and the thing that I'm learning so much about from her legacy as I have a Bahamian son and worked at COB, and am always encountering people who tell me stories of my aunt. For 30 years, she ran a cultural exchange program. She would bring 30 Bahamian children and match them carefully and with love and real intention with an American family, and then the following year, they would go down. And what were those kids doing? They were engaging in cultural exchange. It was the cultural exchange program that she started in 1968. And I really can't go anywhere without really feeling the impact of that, and I would say that those relationships are now generations long, where the cultural exchange partners have raised their children together, have shared their grandchildren together, and it's just given me great joy to really understand through that lens how important identity, culture, and knowing where we're from. Because what did those kids in Chicago have in common with the Bahamian children? Their African culture, their African identity, their otherness in a larger world that doesn't always value and recognize us as a people. And so I think my aunt's practice, while it was dance, has very much been about what we're doing now, which is life skills,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
communication, mm-hmm. collaboration, creativity. I was so inspired by my aunt's legacy,
mm-hmm.
that after working at COB, I worked with Dr. Faith Butler, my colleague, to start the Shirley Hall Bass Legacy Project. And for that, I come to the Bahamas every 3 to 4 times a year. I listen to the artists in the community. I see what the need is. And I try very much using the resources that I have as a professional dance educator, as I was the curriculum development manager for the Joffrey Ballet, and I'm now directing major plays in American theaters. But what I'm invested in my life right now at this point is giving back to the country that gave me the most culturally, mm-hmm. in terms of my identity. Y'all gave me my son. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome. You're welcome.
And I've had this great privilege and opportunity through incredible people like Tanya Hanna, who I've brought in, to build a base of not just dance anymore. We've expanded, Erin. This mm-hmm. is the new deal. So this year at the Shirley Hall Bass Dance Educators Forum, we've typically brought in incredible dance teachers to create that cultural exchange, not with children, but with professional educators to talk about best practices. We started in 2020 with COVID, talking mm-hmm. about how do you teach dance online?
Mm-hmm.
That was a really powerful workshop that we did. But now that we're meeting in person, I've been bringing these people down for cultural exchange from the Joffrey Ballet, from Dance Theater of Harlem. We brought a deaf dancer last summer in 2024 who has a dance company, because our theme that year was about diversity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, deaf people dance.
Of right? course they do.
Of course they do. But now we're in a new stage. And the new stage is we've gotten the consultancy to develop the national performing arts standards for the country for grades kindergarten through 12th grade.
Let me take a moment here to highlight, can we see it all coming together, right?
Mm-hmm.
We are, this activity taking place this month is to develop and launch standards, right, in dance education.
Performing arts.
And performing arts.
Music, dance, mm-hmm. Okay? And I want to say this, not to interrupt you, but it's music, drama, dance, and media arts. We have four disciplines that we're going to be presenting to the public school children.
Absolutely. So we've got the Creative and Performing Arts School coming online. We have the revitalization of the Dundas. We have the revitalization project for the Performing Arts Center downtown. Well, I say downtown. That's downtown for me, but
Shirley Street.
Right? And then we have the University of the Bahamas Community School of Music that's being developed right now, right? And now we have another element in the ecosystem that's ensuring that we have standards.
Mm-hmm. Because I have to be very clear. I love Ian Poitier's campus idea.
Mm-hmm.
But who's going to go if they haven't been exposed to performing arts in primary school or in secondary school? The University of the Bahamas is developing a degree program. Who's going to be able to fulfill those requirements?
And this is serious, because by eighth grade, I realized that I did not have the prerequisites or like the cultural preparation, I can say, to be an astronaut. And like I figured, I read Challenger, and by eighth grade, I figured it out, right? And then by 10th grade, I mean, it had been cemented in my mind that the choices to be made about my career were actually made in eighth grade when I was preparing for BJCs.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And what that early exposure, not just to different subjects, but also putting it in context, begin thinking about what you want to do now.
Right. But it even begins earlier than that, you know, because you're looking at from 0 to 7. So by the time you're 7, you have so much cognitive ability there that were and impressions. So what were the early impressions? If there were none, then you're only going on what you have.
Absolutely. And how could I
carrying that forward?
How could I forget 0 to 7? That's the age, right?
Right.
First of all, perpetual energy machines.
Huh.
Right. Second of all, perpetual idea machines. Right. The perfect age to capture their imagination.
And we're going to be talking about today, I hope, the national initiative we have going on.
All right.
Because while in our consultancy, we have been contracted to develop national performing arts standards, which really describes what every child should be able to do, know, and understand, right? Performing arts isn't just doing the arts, and I want to say that real clearly.
Mm-hmm.
It's also being able to understand why we do, what we do, when we do. There's Junkanoo in Jamaica. But it doesn't look anything like our Junkanoo.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to do the Junkanoo to do a really in-depth lesson with primary students around comparing and contrasting the differences in our practices and our culture. Mm-hmm. That is the direction that our performing arts standards are going in, really per the minister's ask, because we don't have drama teachers. There's not one certified drama teacher in this country. You understand me? In the public schools right now. We have craft teachers serving as dance teachers who are highly trained, incredible, my people. But we don't have certified dance teachers in the schools. So what the minister asked me, what can we do now? Mm-hmm. And what we can do now is a part of my practice. It's a part of Tanya Hanna's practice. And that's integrating the arts into the everyday experience of the children, focusing on the classroom teachers, recognizing that their comfort and discomfort is based on their own lack of experience in the arts. So we got to support them.
All right. Listen, I'm just excited, right? Because dance in particular provides a space to expose young people to so many skills and how they benefit them, right? The discipline, the coordination and discipline, right? The empathy and spatial awareness. How much space am I occupying? How much space does my partner, my dance partner need? Where does my dance partner need me to be? How strong, right? Do they need me? And then in terms of integrating these skills into school life, right? Because there's a point I used to, I taught for a hot minute, and I was guidance summer camp counselor for a number of years. When you speak and you have this expectation that the students are going to respond A, immediately, and B, in coordination, right? As a teacher, that's an expectation that you have without sometimes acknowledging that that is a movement right? And that you have to prepare the students to understand what is required of them. And that when you hear the cue, your muscle memory must kick in, right? There's just so many. And then I'm thinking...
And it's the same way in music. Those same words that you're talking about, the same spatialness, the same when do I come in, when is the cue, all of that exists in the same way.
And then I like whatever rites of passage we used to have, many of them have eroded. But we got this one called Junkanoo. And for the boys, them, you learn to beat the drum. That's a rite of passage. As man, I could beat drum, right? And I want to say good morning to the Valley Girl Big Drummer.
Yes.
We see you out there with that big.
We see you.
With that light, what they call that? The thunder drum. Right? The thunder rhythm drum.
Thunderbolt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, boy, look here, she bad on that big drum. But it becomes a rite of passage. You all saw them thousands of children in Abaco running to meet Get Them Reggie. But part of the reason why is because Get Them Reggie got a dance, and they could do that dance with Get Them Reggie. And for that generation, that's a rite of passage. If you don't, it's just like drift, right? If you don't know how to do the drift, we ain't sure you was one of us. You gotta learn how to.
Yeah, what you're talking about right now, and I think this is important. Tanya and I have been talking for a couple days now about this commonality over all of the art forms. And the way this is embodied in our work and the way we're going very national. This is a very national program. The people who are developing the standards are the best of the best Bahamians. I can say Chris Justillian. I can say Dr. Ian Strawn in theater. I can talk to you about Naomi Taylor, who is another one of our people who are informing the curriculum around really best practices of working Bahamian artists today. But when I tell you that we're trying to unite and tie the dance, the drama, the music, and the media arts, hopefully visual arts, and push into see. These are all things that require the same skills. Confidence, collaboration, creativity, commitment. And in this country, y'all need some conflict resolution skills. And if I'm in a primary school and a secondary school, and I'm allowed to work, really, not just to listen and follow directions, but allowed to collaborate, I'm going to develop conflict resolution skills.
Because, hold on, because, that's what the young people say, capoeira.
Absolutely.
Right? Dance.
As martial art.
As martial arts, right? There is that space, but the body, like I said, the body confidence, the spatial awareness, jiu-jitsu, aikido, all of these disciplines that use your partner or opponent's momentum. Right? All of it, all of these, at the end of the day, if children leave with nothing else, they will leave with soft skills that could take them through the world.
This is the most important message that we're trying to provide, is that I wouldn't even call them soft skills. I would call them critical life skills come through the study of performing arts.
Absolutely.
And if we can, again, and I just want to emphasize this, because I'm fully aware that a lot of classroom teachers, I was one for 20 years, are intimidated by this idea of kids singing and dancing and doing drama in the classroom. What? It's going to be out of control. Not if, like everything else, you study and scaffold and build, but also my most important thing is performing arts education is not just doing, okay? It's being able to recognize that when you're watching that Nike commercial, someone has used art, dance, music to sell you something. But that is a tool used for marketing.
And in fact, dear young people, I need you to understand that once you sort of get into that dance space, then you'll understand that the music of your generation has been co-opted, right, to capitalize you, to make you a cog in their consumerist machine.
Exactly.
The first time, there was a song that I was looking for, and then I found it was in a Nike commercial. I was so disappointed, right? But when you engage a song through dance, the central message of the song will always stick with you, right? That message underneath the capitalist consumerist marketing that's been placed on top of it.
Those people who are selling things and using the arts to sell things, that is we know that the arts are powerful. They're persuasive.
Good. And so now we have an opportunity where we do it.
Absolutely.
So that they can see, okay, how do we make this work?
And do it for ourselves,
that's
right?
What I'm saying.
Sovereignty is creating what you say you value and valuing what you can create.
And so with creating the identity, Can you see the walls coming down with creating that self-love, that self-image, that strong self-image and that knowledge? You have a knowledge base now. You're not just hearing about it. You're experiencing it and you're living it.
All right. Last thing before we get to the seventh annual Dance Educators Forum. Dear young people, you have a job. This is your function. When it, like you say, God charge you.
Mm-hmm.
This is your function in life.
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to be bringing the dance energy back into the lives of the elders in your family. Mm.
Exactly.
Right?
Right?
Your Grammy know how to do the dance. What's the word to see? Your Grammy know how to do them thing on the dance floor. She used to, right? But a part of our Anglo-colonial experience, right? Remember, we are the proper Negroes.
Mm-hmm.
Not like them other Negroes there, that this jungleists and federation, that's what the older said, federation, y'all know what that mean, right? We're not like that. We're prim and we're proper and we don't dance. In fact, in the tourism market, we don't speak to the tourists, we let them speak to us, right? Which is just madness in 2025. But the point is, dear young people, that's your job. You got to get your Grammy need bouncing again.
Yes.
You got to remind her when she used to go to Regatta.
And ask her about her stories about the performing artists that she saw and have her show you her dances.
That, mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
the cultural exchange generationally, I think, because the young people have sort of drifted. I remember Satellite coming to this island. I'm sorry, y'all. Mm-hmm. That did it to us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The minute we saw that BET and the minute we saw that, it took away so much of what we valued in our own performing arts culture
mm-hmm.
because the saturation of media coming from the United States.
Because we no longer had to entertain ourselves. See? That's the lesson of the Grammy. See, the cultural exchange there. While you teaching your Grammy that it's okay
right.
to shake that knee again, she's going to remind you of the benefit, right? Not the disadvantage, but the benefit of having to entertain yourself, having to write your own jokes and tell your own jokes and laugh at your own jokes and the power, right? Because that's sovereignty. That's sovereignty. And the little children say, oh, Uncle Randall, he boring. He tell the same jokes. And they look at them and say, well, then you start telling the jokes then.
One of the things that I think I would like mm-hmm. to say also in this work that we're doing around the Shirley Hall Bass Legacy Project, but this National Performing Arts Initiative, it's based on research. I've got a scholar named Dr. Goldie Muhammad, and she's mm-hmm. got five principles, five pursuits for education.
Mm-hmm.
And when I read these, they hit me tight on what my aunt was practicing, what I've seen practiced here in the Bahamas, as an Afro-diasporic tradition. And that is what her book is about.
All right.
And what she's talking about is a curriculum for black children, well, for all children, frankly, for all children, should include a sense of their identity. It should allow them to develop skills, because we need skills. We got to mm-hmm. do something. We also need intellect, an understanding of what it is that we're doing, right? Where did it come from? And then we need criticality, which is what you're talking about, right? I need to, maybe this isn't really intended for me, or why are we getting it like that? A criticality is expected. And finally, and this is what's important here in the country, is joy. And
yes.
those five pursuits of education will bring the children to the schools. It will bring the families to the schools. And it will engender a well-rounded, holistic. I've been doing professional development for Ministry of Education a couple of months now. And when I ask those principals and those school leaders what they want in their children, it does not sound a whole lot like reading, writing, and arithmetic. It sounds like responsible, committed, caring adults with creative. It sounds like performing arts education.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have two mandates, right? One is to develop the national standards. The other is to develop the everyday classroom teacher in methods of arts integration. And that's what we're going to be presenting at the forum, is the
mm-hmm.
work we've done to shift the country in performing arts education with this incredible team of artists.
In other words, we are creating productive Bahamians, productive. We have to be productive in our society. This
mm-hmm.
is our country, and we are the ones who have been given the mandate and the responsibility. And we have to be taught how to be responsible.
Yeah, you can't do it if no one gives you a clue or the tools, right?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Let us talk about the details for the 7th Annual Shirley Hall Bass Dance Educators Forum. Who can attend? How do I attend? Is there a cost? What do I need to bring? How many different pair of shoes I need to bring for this dance workshop?
Okay. So this year, the forum is taking on a very different look as we are focused on our consultancy. We have been doing a lot of work with the community of performing artists to get examples and exemplars of the best Bahamian artworks across all performing arts. We have been focused on developing our curriculum around 8 goals, and those goals are based in the UNESCO 21st Century Learning Goals, like commitment and collaboration and creativity, right? All of these C's. Our professional development experts, content experts, have created goal statements, and we're going to be sharing those in the form. The form is free.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The form is open to the public. It is a sharing of our work. It's an opportunity to get feedback, and it's an opportunity to participate, frankly. We also are going to be sharing, and this is what Tanya is here really to talk about, is the incredible work that we did in our first cohort at UB with an Arts 900 class. And this class was...
What do you mean, Arts 900?
Well, that's what the class was called by UB. It was called Arts 900.
I used to try to touch the hem of a 400-level class. Okay.
Yeah. So this is an online course. It's a part of their continuing education.
Okay.
And we offered this as a part of our national initiative because we recognized, sure, I can be very invested in squeezing all these incredible people for Bahamian content, right? Mm-hmm. Bahamian. That's my goal. But not just the stuff. What is the methodology? I believe mm-hmm. you all have a very unique way of sharing and expressing and communicating your spirits. And so through this class, which Nima's going to tell us about, our goal was to introduce a deeper understanding of Junk Anew to classroom teachers, but then to partner those classroom teachers with performing artists and have them receive. This is based on the work of Arlene Nash Ferguson. Now, mm-hmm. I didn't make this up myself. I got fully inspired by Arlene Nash Ferguson's vision of the life skills that Junk Anew provides in organization, mm-hmm. in management, in business. She has describing all of these intersections of life skills for Bahamians through Junk Anew. So we had 6 different lectures, 6 presentations. We had 17 participants. It was an amazing performing artist who joined. And I'm just going to let her talk about mm-hmm. the class.
Just as before we go there, let's send a shout out to Cousin Roosevelt Finlayson, who was the originator of Festival in the Workplace, right? Which also similarly saw the passion and commitment that Junk Anews have to mm-hmm. the art form mm-hmm. and realize that that's inherent in Bahamians, mm-hmm. right? Like, yes. And if we create the correct environment, that same commitment and expertise and loyalty and spatial awareness can be transferred to the workplace. Good morning, Cousin Finlayson.
Hi, how you doing, Finlayson?
All right. And so let's talk about the class.
Okay, but with my experience, I'm going to jump right to how I was paired with Christina Bellman, who was out of the classroom. She's a classroom teacher at Claridge Primary. Mm-hmm. And that relationship, we built a relationship where we would meet after class online and discuss, okay, how do we do this? Because we're really looking at how do we develop that wonderful lesson plan to deliver this message to the students. I was very impacted by Shanna Goldsmith, who talked about Sankofa and learning how that philosophy, bringing that philosophy forward to allow it to let us appreciate, that helps us appreciate our ancestry and also our culture, and going back and meeting some of those people that who were so instrumental in what we are today. All right. So which means that we still need all of that. And when we know who we are, that helps us to develop where we're going. Then Nicolette Bethel with the historic values and Angelique McKay. Angelique really impressed me a lot because of, number one, I was really glad that she went to Africa and discovering where we're from exactly, bringing that into the whole structure. And Chris Justillian with the instruments and what he is doing in the school system at UB, and especially with the trumpeters out of the conch shells. That's such a beautiful design.
Hold on. Just let me remind you guys, in the 52nd year of our independence, that y'all know we have a conch orchestra?
Like, yes.
We had a conch orchestra.
Yes.
I used to conch. Don't mind me. I used to conch. I could be right here. Oh, play with me. Okay, go on.
Okay. And also Pamela Burnside and Arlene. But the two that struck out for me was Shara with Sankofa and mm-hmm. Angelique, because out of that, for me, that we're five generations of musicians. Mm-hmm. So she helped me to link our sixth generation and our seventh generation, mm-hmm. linking it back to Africa,
right.
without having discovered our actual tribe. That's, you know, it's, that's the kind of things we want to know, you know,
mm-hmm.
especially exactly, you know, so we're getting more information. And we're in a time where if you see the explosion of culture right now, an explosion of where everybody wants to know who they are, where did we come from? That's mm-hmm. very important.
Absolutely.
And guess what? Yeah, this Arts 900 program does that.
Absolutely. Producer, look at the playlist for more. Play that song by the last one I sent you.
Mm.
I have one song here. I want to say good morning to Cousin Shara.
Mm-hmm.
Right? This place is beautiful when we know each other. When we know that we know each other, where linkages are made, right?
Yes.
And you feel that when you dance, and like if you dance with a partner, right? And I can be honest with you, don't matter, you same sex, whatever. I mean, if you gay or not, when you dance with a partner and you're in tune and you begin to understand the beauty of relationship, right? And being in healthy relationship with one person or other people. But I want to play this song so Bahamians could get a sense of like what Sankofa means.
Thank you.
In
Thank
this
you.
Space.
Thank play you. The one, like he's saying the word.
play the one by Overdose, former producer.
One gal off, you just want me. Hot's my brethren, who that is? You say hold your head, but mind your biz. Hold on, dog, that's my type
that's
of gal. Look like the one who can have my child. He said, you better calm down. I say, I ain't come here to climb run.
Okay, mm-hmm. that song is called One Gal,
mm-hmm.
right, by Vocab. Vocab is an amazing kind of entertainer. I'm not sure if he's a musician or if he's a wordsmith. He's a rapper, but he's definitely an influencer. And he's definitely a comedian,
mm-hmm.
right? But so that song's called One Gal.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what happened. DJ Overdose, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The Bahamas is, I think, internationally most reclaimed DJ at this time.
Mm-hmm.
He made a rhythm. So he sampled Red Shade by an Ancient Man.
Oh, okay.
So he went back into the past.
Exactly.
Right?
That's it.
And brought the best elements of the past into the future.
That's it.
It's a 5-track EP. So he took Red Shade, give me my Red Shade,
right.
woman.
Yes, I hear Ancient Man in there. Yes,
right?
I hear it.
And then he selected 4 artists to join him.
Okay.
Overdose has a track. Leon, Elena, Vocab, Bahamian Trey.
Okay.
Right? And each song is in a different style
mm-hmm.
or experience of Bahamian and Caribbean music in the Bahamas.
Okay.
And when I say experience, here's what I mean. You got a Byron Lee and the Dragonair style
yes.
soca.
Right.
Or calypso in there.
Mm-hmm.
But I played Vocab because this is a rendition of Joseph Spence. This took us
mm-hmm.
all the
mm-hmm.
way back mm-hmm. to the guttural.
Mm-hmm.
He said, one,
mm-hmm.
I need one mm-hmm. of them gal,
yeah,
give
yeah,
me one
yeah,
gal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? And so that, for young people, Sankofa isn't some old, archaic, Egyptian, African principle we're trying to force upon you,
mm-hmm.
right? But it's what you've been doing this whole time.
Thank you. And you never knew the word.
Right.
It means to go back.
Yes.
And fetch it.
Yes.
It means to go back and fetch your history, your people, your culture. You cannot proceed without knowing where you're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't that be interesting if we have an artist who decides that, okay, I'm going to embellish some of George Simonet. I'm going to go even further back and look and see if there's something by Blind Blake that I can melt with that. And then, again, like you said, with the guitarist.
Fred Ferguson?
Well, Fred is current. But we could even go back to
Joseph Spence.
Joseph Spence.
Yeah, yeah.
Add all of that together and you see all of that happening in that song. And then, of course, someone who is knowledgeable of, oh, that's what that style is. That's what that is. And then you could label it. You know what I mean?
So here's the thing. We can get into the details for the event coming up right now.
We gotta get to the details.
Recently, Carnival Cruise Line announced that they're about to ban all hip-hop music.
Uh-huh.
Right? And some urban dances and activities, line dances, right? They because of, they had a big bus up, a big dust up on the boat, right? And so now they're just going to ban all hip-hop music from the boat. Now, first of all, I think that's what you call racism and classism.
Don't sleep.
You can't ban all the music. There's some music I wouldn't... there's some music, if I hear the music playing on the cruise ship, I can go to the bay and say, hey. Like, if they play with Clarence Carter, you know the song, When I Was Too Young? I can't even say it. That's how rude it is.
Yeah,
if
yeah.
they play that, I can say, look at my Grammy on the cruise
right,
ship.
Don't be
goosey in her head up. Don't play that. Right? You could ban some types of hip-hop music. What do you mean you're banning? Anyway, here's why that conversation is important to us in the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
See, not just because we are a cruise destination, touting ourselves as premier cruise destination in the world. It's not just because of that. And we're a black majority country. And they're talking about they're banning hip-hop, right? It's not just that. It's that Bahamians are integral in the creation of hip-hop. We are the story of hip-hop, from Joseph Spence, right? Burt Williams, right? Tony McKay, Maureen Duvalier,
right.
Blind Blake, Jones O'Jones,
yes.
right?
Maureen. And that's why we have the Gombe music coming up.
All right, don't worry, after the break, I know I tell you all I was going to the news after the break, but we get just a little bit more information after the break, and then we're going to touch some of these headlines.
Okay.
But this particular conversation we should be a part of, because what you mean, you're going to own land in the Bahamas and run a product that in some ways is restrictive or restricted to Bahamian access. And you're going to tell us, Bahamians, who originated hip-hop and grew it with other West Indians in the U.S.
That we can do
that all the music has no value. That all of the music has no value and is not worth it for us to play. Can't happen. But if we had standards, a system, not that we don't have experts, but now that we have a system, then we can teach to our children that we are experts.
Mm-hmm.
Because who's going to be more expert in who we are than us?
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we could launch the conversation to say, oh, no, fine men and women, here are the technical reasons why you cannot ban hip-hop.
Exactly.
Here are the standards.
Right, there you go. We're going to a break. When we get back from the break, these people have been working on a project they didn't even tell us about. I had to do my research. When we get back from the break, we're going to tell you about Ghosts of Gombe.
Okay.
Stay tuned. On the Clock with Aaron Green. We'll be right back.
I'm happy every day. I've been waiting for a long, long time.
Why you look so mashed up, like clothes at the washer?
No, boy, just a hard day. What?
Hard day? What happened? The breakfast lady ran out of tuna and gritsy.
We need to start joking with everything, you know. This serious, boy. This real serious, boy.
But it was serious. Tell me.
All right, well, today, boss gave us boy one big, big contract. And nobody else get a chance and nobody say nothing.
Boy, you know that ain't right. You know government contracts ain't supposed to go that way.
Yeah, but nobody saying nothing. Boss man just tell people to sign the papers. Then he send me to meet his boy downtown and collect this envelope.
You need to tell somebody. You need to become a whistleblower.
You know I was a real man, but I never blow no whistle like he drunk all my life in Junkano.
No way. A whistleblower is someone who tells people what they see when they see something wrong happening at work.
But I ain't no whistleblower, and I ain't no snitch. I still wait there, you know.
But ain't nobody gonna know it's you. All you gotta do is call Crime Stoppers, or you could text them from inside the Crack Crime Bahamas app. They don't ask about you, and your call goes straight through to Miami, so nobody know you is. And if you text, your message get mixed up like Kong Salad.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
You try to rest, roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers. For window DIYs, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Abaco. Get ready for the summer's official rum and beer link. Royalty Sounds present Found Fast.
Found Fast.
Saturday, July 5th, Morris Harbor Abaco. At the Royal Recreational Ground. Gates open 5 p.m., $20 entry. Ladies free before 8 p.m. With Nassau and Abaco's Hottest DJ. Don't miss the Beer Drinkers versus Rum Drinkers competition.
Right, pulling for the best side, I said, collect.
Rum for me.
Found Fast, July 5th, Abaco. Sponsored by Collect, the Beer of the Bahamas. Drink responsibly.
At Cleveland Clinic, care is everything. So when your primary purpose is to care for the world, you'd start with your community. Until you're accessible anywhere, you make complexities your specialties and put compassion before anything else, all to redefine what's possible for everyone, everywhere, for every care in the world. Cleveland Clinic.
Living paycheck to paycheck, at Fidelity your money, build savings, and create a financial future you're proud of. And we'll do it free of charge. Transform your financial future with our coaching sessions today. Make that move. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
In these very difficult times when crime is on the increase, you don't need to waste money on imitation security. Get the best at Wemco Security, the company you keep. Don't delay. Call today or visit their office at 32 Collins Avenue across from Columbus Primary School.
Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock with Darren Green. Okay, I got like 6 minutes left. Listen, I'm hoping to get into these headlines with Mr. Newry in the second hour on Guardian Radio AM. So I got plenty to tell you all about right now. First of all, we're going to go right into Ghosts of Gombe. But before I could go there, I have to say good morning to Valine Roll, who is directing this production. Now, if y'all don't know Valine Roll wrote Conk and Mango Don't Grow on the Same Tree. I have to remind you all of that a couple days before independence. Conk and Mango Don't Grow on the Same Tree. Conk and Mango Don't Grow on the Same Tree. Conk don't even grow on tree. That's why you could never be like me. And in honor of Valine Roll, I just got to say a quick congratulations to the GHS Magic Ivy that was selected to provide entertainment at the U.S. Independence Celebration. And let me just tell y'all, I was there. They was good.
They were awesome. Mm.
And to Michaela King, who former lead singer of Magic Ivy, who performed the American National Anthem, and Chauncey Wright from R&B Lee, who performed the Bahamian National Anthem. I had to throw that out there. Okay. Found this article on ZNS online Friday. Ghosts of Gombe come alive this summer. I was like, what? On this Gombe I've been talking? So on July 31st, the Pulse of Bahamian Heritage will thunder once again as Ghosts of Gombe opens at the University of the Bahamas Performing Arts Center under the patronage of Duke Errol Strawn, the last living Gombe legend.
Yes.
It is a vibrant musical revue conceived by Patrick Ramming. Ramming's production seeks to revive the witty, infectious songs of iconic artists like Maureen Duvalier, that's also known on the stage as Mama Calypso.
Bahama Mama.
And Bahama Mama, George Simonette, and Blind Blake. Right? And Pat Ramming's words, being able to take yesterday's music and make it tomorrow's music is very important. Mm-hmm. Right? I think perhaps the most powerful. Now, just a little insight into the origin, right? The origin of Gombe. This production tells the remarkable story. In the last decade of the 19th century, a young Charles Lofthouse stumbled upon ex-slaves beating a pan and dancing in a way he had never seen. When they ask him what he's doing, they say, "We're doing the Gombe." See, because even back then, they know you get confused, the enemy. They didn't know what they was. The people didn't know what they was watching the people do. He said he took a moment, and then he found American visitor to the islands, Alice Sims, who's also a singer, and they recorded a song. Oh, they wrote Gumbe.
Right.
So this song we hear all the time, I play Gumbe, Gumbe.
Gumbe mama, beat the drum again. Gumbe papa, having fun again. Shake the dance.
If one of your young people don't turn that into a rhythm right now, I mean, that is it right there. And I'm talking about real hip-hop genius. You know, I'm talking about old people don't know nothing. I'm talking about all of these, by them making samples, they're going all the way back to the 60s and the 40s and the 50s.
They need to use the stuff.
And we have a unique catalog of music. Although if y'all go online, y'all go look for DJ Ampero, because currently he's doing a series where he examines the history or the origins of Bahamian music. And Biosis Now is featured. Their music is the opening to Pete and Pete Rock. Song Troy, T-R-O-Y. If y'all know, y'all know. Anyway, let's get to the dates. Let's get to the information. Gumbe, Ghosts of Gumbe, again, July 3rd, Performing Arts Center, University of the Bahamas. You could call University August. Of the Bahamas.
So the you can call 397.
July 1st start.
Right.
Also, August 1st and August 2nd
exactly.
Performances. July 1st is the gala.
Right.
That's where they going to be dancing.
With the red carpet treatment.
Yes, and that's $100. August 1st and 2nd. Tickets are $50. UB Bookstore, Born Again Health Store, stepping out on top of the hill, Mackey Street, and Bristol Cellars on
Gladstone Road. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Now, the forum.
Yes. Our forum is going to be a presentation of the National Performing Arts Initiative. So while we'd previously been engaged in dance, as Tanya shared, we had the Arts 900 class. We'll have the professors there, Arlene Nash Ferguson. We're putting that class on again in October, so we're hoping to have people come out. We're going to be sharing our work on examples of the best examples of Bahamian arts. It's from 10 to 2 at the University of the Bahamas, the Graduate Building, which is the Franklin Wilson Graduate Center in the RBC Auditorium, mm-hmm. July 26th from 10 to 2 p.m. It is absolutely free. We're strongly encouraging classroom teachers to come out. We want everybody to come see our work and get involved. We're looking, if I might ask, for an economist, because in our work, I need to prove that these children who come out of this program, how much money can you make as a dancer in the Bahamas?
Mm-hmm.
How much money can you make as a theater person in the Bahamas? How much can we contribute? What is our investment going to be? Because people
right.
like to talk dollars and cents.
And what's available, what's possible, what's extractable? What spaces can we open up to create more income-generating mechanisms
right.
for performers and creatives?
So if I have any economists listening to me right now, I'd like you to reach out to us at the Shirley Bass Project
mm-hmm.
at gmail.com so that you can get involved in this fantabulous work and make it possible for all of the children in the Bahamas
to realize. And dear young people, start writing
so
down.
Ian Fernanda, please give Chris a call.
Absolutely. And as we go out, let's do some shout outs. There's some names in here that I was just, like your choreographer, Ricardo Christie.
Yes.
Your musical director, Ronald Barefoot Sims, Justilian as well. Valine Roll, Tanya Hannah, among others. And again, call the University of the Bahamas, or better yet, social media presence. Facebook.
Yes, we are at the Shirley Hall Bass Foundation.org.
Mm-hmm.
We are the Shirley Hall Bass Foundation on Facebook. We have a Shirley Hall Bass Legacy Project documenting the past 6 years of our work with Dr. Butler. And I can be reached at shirleybassproject@gmail.com.
Absolutely, absolutely. Producer, finally I can tell you all how I break my toe.
Yes, how did you do that?
I was doing that same 900 level dance class.
Right? Wait. You were stealing the heel and toe?
How like,
oh, you know?
Also, I need somebody to help me catch a raccoon.
Oh, we have a lot.
Yeah, you...
You want to come and get them out of the ditch?
No, I need somebody to help me catch the... not help me catch the raccoon, to catch it for me.
Oh.
Yeah, anyway, last night, y'all talk to your raccoon friends. Last night while I was watering my Gnep tree, a single Gnep dropped to the ground, baby Gnep. And I knew in that moment it was war. That raccoon declared war on me last night. and my Gnab tree, or their Gnab tree, or whoever it belonged to. Anyway, tomorrow, it's the last day before independence. Tune in. We're talking news. We're talking, what does it mean to be independent? What does it mean to be sovereign? What does it mean to be Bahamian? You guys, stay tuned. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry is up next. Woo!
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.